My name's Michelle Owen. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is the 18th of August 2009, and the time is 4:18. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
Yeah, my name's Eddie Devlin. I'm 70 years of age, and I come from Glasgow.
How are you feeling?
Fine. I'm fine.
How did you get down here?
I can't remember. No, I came by car via Whitby, where I visited family who were on holiday, proceeded from there to Liverpool, and then came down to London.
We were talking about your car before the interview started. Can you tell me what car you drive?
Well, I drive a Deschevaux, which is 2CV, which has legendary petrol consumption, and I managed to run out of petrol just outside Whitby on the way down, so I'll be drummed out of the 2CV club.
You remember the 2CV club?
Yes, I am, yeah.
How long have you been a member?
A couple of years now. They're very helpful for advice, but I don't want them to find out that I've did that bad thing by running out of petrol, but I've no doubt they'll now hear this and they will know already. 2CV has a network of people all over Britain, really, and Europe, and you can phone them for advice. They're pretty good. So someone told me, don't run out of petrol.
Can you remember how you first heard about the One Another Project?
Yeah, I think I saw it on TV, and then I had a look at the website, thought I'll have a go at that, and here I am.
What was it about the project that made you want to take part, do you think?
Yeah, just, I like showing off. And I thought, what a better place to show off than on a plinth. Now I'm worried in case it doesn't work. But that's what I thought it'd be fun, really. I didn't treat it too seriously. I didn't think I would even get on. I was very surprised and pleased when they chose me out of only, 2,400 people? That's a pretty select bunch.
Would you describe yourself as an exhibitionist?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah, a bit, although I'm actually, sometimes I'm a bit shy and I don't think I do good in showbiz.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think I have to be in the mood, whereas if you're in showbiz you have to turn it on all the time, you know, and I wouldn't like that. I know it's a discipline and I'm not a very disciplined person, that's why I don't write a lot. And I don't pursue things. I start guitar lessons and go so far and I think, well, I'm good enough, that'll do. I haven't got that, whatever it is that gives you the drive to go, really, because I find it boring.
But you do perform, don't you?
Yeah, I've read stuff in Glasgow, Edinburgh, New York, Paris, London, and some other bits and places. But once I've done something like that, and when reasonably successful, I don't do the work then, and I hang up then, try something else.
Could you tell me a bit more about the kind of work that you produce and what you do?
Well, I like to write poetry. Again, I'm not very disciplined. I do my own freestyle type of thing. I'm interested in haiku. I like doing haiku stuff because there is a discipline there. And I wish I'd brought some with me now, but I've done quite a lot of haikus.
Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, haikus, it's a Japanese form of poetry, and it's all about capturing the moment. A haiku is usually a seasonal thing, like you have to have a seasonal word like snow or spring or flower. It's open to interpretation what a seasonal word is, but you have to complete the poem in three lines. A total of 17 syllables. So you've got 5 in the first line, 7 syllables in the second line, 5 in the last one. And that is the art form. But there's a lot of debate about it because it's Japanese language to begin with. So what happens when you translate it into English or Scots even? So you don't really have to stick to it, but it is a good discipline to try and do it and not make it sound too contrived. And that's a haiku. There's also a senru, which is a similar thing, and that can be just anything, any moment. in time, like where we are sitting now. You try and just capture the essence of what's happening, or up, even up on the plinth. I'll probably write one or two about the plinth, but I'll have to wait till I've been on it and been stoned by the crowd and things like that.
You've brought one along with you. What's it called?
Well, it's not a haiku, but it's about being on a plinth. And I'd written this before I got chosen to be on the plinth, funnily enough, but I thought it was appropriate. Would you like me to read it?
I would, please.
I was going to read it anyway. It's called Dead Famous. I would not like to be dead, famous like Burns or Scott, standing in the cold squares of dripping towns, alone and lofty above them all, with a seagull or a pigeon on my head. Tourists would read the plaque, then digitalise my shape, keeping in focus the bird on my head. I would not like to be famous or dead. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to maybe paraphrase that and call, instead of seagull, a bird, put a traffic cone. Because there's a famous statue in Glasgow that's the Duke of Wellington. It's quite near George Square, and it's always got a traffic cone on its head. I think now the City Council make sure there is one there, even if so-called vandals haven't done that. So that's why today I'll be wearing a traffic cone on my head as a tribute to that statue, and as a laugh as well, hopefully.
And you brought something else along with you, haven't you?
Well, it's a little toy horse that's meant to simulate an equestrian statue as well. And I'll be wearing Wellington boots in honour of the Duke of Wellington. And it's going to be, as we say in Glasgow, pure hot up there, because it's a very hot day.
Where did you first become interested in poetry? Can you remember?
I think I've always been, from school days, I liked Shakespeare, although I'm not by any means knowledgeable in a lot of Shakespeare, but I love Julius Caesar. I just love the whole thing, and Friends, Romans, Countrymen, and just the drama of it all, and Macbeth. But in particular, it was Julius Caesar. I just liked the whole thing. And when I saw the first movie, I think the one the one with Brando in it just blew me away, because it was just so good to hear the words that we'd read out parrot fashion at school, to hear them perform properly. It was really great. I like the poetry of Norman McCaig in particular, and Bob Dylan and Lou Reed, everybody that writes anything at all. I just love when they capture a line. There's a terrific line that Lou Reed says to describe a funeral, when he just says, sitting on a hard chair, and I think that's great. So that's what I like about poetry, and that's why I'm interested in it. It's capturing that moment. It doesn't have to be a haiku, but just capturing something that's evocative, if you like.
How is it that you've had the opportunity to travel as much as you have to do your poetry?
Well, most of it is just coincidental. I used to run marathons, so when I was in New York, I would read some poetry. When I'd recovered from the marathon, I ran New York 10 in a row. Not very successfully. I never got close to even losing, never mind winning. But when I was in New York, I knew some people over there, and they got me gigs down in the village, and that was really something, you know. A bit scary, but once you get there, you find out they treat you as a writer from Scotland rather than just Eddie Devlin that's doing it for a laugh type of thing. That was interesting, to find people listening to you properly, I would say, rather than the usual drunken carry-on that we did have in Glasgow.
Were they pubs you were playing in Glasgow?
Yeah, mostly pubs. Pubs and a few halls, but mostly pubs, yeah. We did some stuff. I've done some video journal type stuff, and we've got one. There's one on sale just now. It's called On the Streets Where We Lived. It's about one of the old districts in Glasgow. And I'm reading the poetry there, but it's not my poetry. I'm reading someone else written it, and I just got the job of performing it as a sort of link between scenes. It's a sort of All Our Yesterdays type of video.
How did you come to be involved with
it? I just met some people that were doing that, and we got involved in it. I'm still doing that. We're doing stuff just now about some of the districts in Glasgow. Again, old archive photos and photos that we're filming of today's scenery, and little bits of poems and just little articles in between.
Did you grow up in Glasgow?
Yeah. Yeah.
And which regions are you talking about that are documented in this?
Yeah. The first one we did was the Gorbals, and we've just finished putting footage together of one in Govan, and that's still to be edited. Yeah, I'm not involved in the side of it. I just do the star stuff, and I also help hold the cameras, and it's a very small company, you know, we don't have any budget at all really, but I just like doing the whole thing. I like that sort of, it's a bit of posing as well, but it can be dangerous posing in some parts of Glasgow. I suppose the same of any city, because if they see you with a camera and a stand, people assume that you're wealthy, you might have some money to give them, or they might get a job, or they might be able to steal your camera. That's not very fair. I wish I hadn't said that now.
Whereabouts did you grow up in Glasgow?
A place called, it used to be called Garden Gad, that became Royston eventually. It did have a pretty bad reputation at one point, but it was the usual, it was misguided. I never had any problem. I went to a sort of grammar school from there and stuff like that. So, and I now stay in the West End of Glasgow, which is quite trendy, and again, it's okay. There's bits of Glasgow are absolutely fine, and other bits that aren't the same as are found in Liverpool and London. But the Plymouth people are very nice.
Have you always lived there? Have you moved away and gone back?
No, I just was away 2 years, National Service in the Royal Air Force. I was a fighter typist.
Tell me about that.
Well, they just made me a typist. I actually was a bricklayer to trade, and I got into RAF for the National Service, and they asked me all sorts of questions. What job would you like to do? So I put down air traffic control and dog handler, the ones that we thought were glamorous, but they take 2 or 3 years training and stuff like that. So it was just a joke. Eventually they said, right, you lot, and swept 20 of us aside and said, you are typists. So they trained me to type, which I like now because of my writing. I can touch type, and I find it very, very useful. But it wasn't very military like, you know, so I call myself a fighter typist. And some people think that's, some people believe that, and other ones just say, yeah, quite amusing, Ed, carry on.
Would your friends describe you as an entertainer?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah. Not all the time, I'm sure some of them think we should shut up, you know, but most of the time it's, we have fun, you know, we have a laugh.
What's important to you in life at the moment?
Not being too serious about anything, because it doesn't do any good. But that doesn't stop me from worrying and about things and hoping that the world will get a better place and all the rest of it. But I think generally you have to have a little bit of lightness, like the unbearable lightness of being. In other words, just enjoy being where you are. I mean, we were complaining last night. I wouldn't mention the name of the hotel, it was Golders Green, but it wasn't great. And we're only staying one night, and the couple I was with were sort of going, oh, this is not very nice. And I said, look, there's people sleeping in skips tonight. We're only here for one night, we'll survive it. And that sort of attitude. But it's sometimes difficult to maintain that attitude. So I do get not depressed, but a bit down at times. And then I think, oh, come on, lighten up. I've got to talk to myself.
So in between doing these performance poetry, I think you called it earlier on, were you working as well or not?
Yeah, I was. I was a civil servant for the last 9 years of my working life. I'm now retired, but I was a civil servant in Glasgow and with the Department of Social Security, involved in identity theft and stuff like that. So it was a kind of a little section that was quite interesting, looking at false passports and forgeries and stuff like that. So that was quite good. Yeah, so I was working, yeah, in between gigs, so to speak. But they were never gigs as such, you know, they were just occasions where you got a chance to read.
How do you think performing on the plinth today, reading your work on the plinth today, will compare to those other...
I'm not going to read on the plinth today.
Read any poetry?
Well, I'm going to read. I might read this one if I know it can be heard on the web. But I've been monitoring and watching, and a lot of people are not getting heard because they haven't got the equipment. They're not being broadcast to the people in the square. There's a lot of traffic noise stuff like that. So I don't think that works. So I'm not really interested in doing that. But if I'm going to be heard on the website, then I'll read this one. Because some people will know, they'll have heard that before, and they'll be groaning. There'll be groans in Glasgow. They'll be going, oh no, he's doing the dead famous one.
How did your friends react when you told them you were doing this?
Most of them were quite happy about it, yeah. They said, good on you, as if I had achieved something, whereas it's just a lottery, but I made out I was picked, you know. I said I had to send in photos and samples of my work, etc. But they now realise it was a lottery, so they're saying, well done, good luck, and they're for it.
Is there anything else you'd like to do?
Goodbye.
Thank you very much.